the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network presents Vatican Insider with Joan Lewis. Each week, Joan brings you news from inside the Vatican and the Church around the world, as well as interviews and answers to your questions. Now, here's the host of Vatican Insider, Joan Lewis.
Welcome to Vatican Insider on this fifth weekend of Lent. This week, on April 2nd, we marked the 20th anniversary of the death of Pope St. John Paul. To commemorate that day and those years, I have prepared a special about a man, a priest, a pope, and a saint. It is about a life and a legacy seen through my memories and those of Cardinal Pietro Parolin, Secretary of State, Cardinal Stanislaw Żywiec, Secretary to John Paul for 40 years, now Archbishop Emeritus of Krakow, and Polish Cardinal Konrad Krajewski, Papal Liturgical Ceremonial Official under John Paul, and now under Francis, Papal Almoner. That special comes after the news, and so now a look at the week's top stories. Sunday, March 30th. The Holy See Press Office published Pope Francis's Sunday Angelus remarks, in which he prayed for peace in places of suffering around the world, and also expressed his hope that Lent may be a time of healing for all the more as it's in the Jubilee. I too am experiencing it this way in my soul and in my body. That is why I give heartfelt thanks to all those who, in the image of the Savior, are instruments of healing for their neighbor with their word and their knowledge, with kindness and with prayer. Frailty and illness are experiences we all have in common. All the more, however, we are brothers in the salvation Christ has given us. Monday, March 31st. Pope Francis approved decrees related to the canonization of Peter Thorat, a layman martyred for the faith in present-day Papua New Guinea, the first Papuan saint, Archbishop Ignatius Tukrala Maloyan, murdered during the Armenian genocide, and Venezuelan religious founder Mother Maria del Monte Carmelo, the first native-born Venezuelan saint. Pope Francis also recognized a miracle attributed to Father Carmelo de Palma, an Italian priest from Bari, and the heroic virtues of servant of God, José Antonio de Maria y Piapina, a 19th-century Brazilian politician turned priest. Tuesday, April 1st, Pope Francis continues to recuperate from bilateral pneumonia at his residence in the Vatican's Casa Santa Marta, according to an update provided by the Holy See Press Office. He's in good spirits, and his overall condition remains stable. His blood work is normal, and a recent chest x-ray indicates an improvement in his lungs. The Pope is continuing the various therapies prescribed by his doctors. His motor skills, breathing, and the use of his voice continue to show improvement. High-flow oxygenation is used mainly at night and as necessary. The Holy Father celebrates Mass each morning in the second-floor chapel of the Santa Marta. He continues to work at his desk. There have not been any special visits to the Pope, but he meets with health personnel as well as his closest collaborators. Wednesday, April 2nd, at 3 p.m. in St. Peter's Basilica, in the presence of a large number of priests, bishops, and cardinals, and several thousand lay faithful, Cardinal Pietro Parolin presided at Mass, marking the 20th anniversary of the death of Pope St. John Paul II at 9:37 p.m., April 2nd, 2005, the Vigil of Divine Mercy Sunday. This was the new name of the second Sunday of Easter that John Paul created during his pontificate. Also present were members of the diplomatic corps and Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni. In his homily, Cardinal Parolin commemorated the legacy of a pontiff who profoundly shaped the Church and the world. Reflecting on Pope John Paul II's final moments 2 decades ago, Cardinal Parolin recalled the powerful images of the Pope embracing the crucifix during the Via Crucis, his silent Easter Sunday blessing from the window overlooking St. Peter's Square, and the immense crowds that gathered to bid farewell to their shepherd. Parolin highlighted the Polish Pope's profound sense of living under God's gaze, citing his reflection in his collection Roman Triptych, where he described God as the first seer before whom all things are laid bare. The transparency of his life before God, the cardinal noted, was the foundation of his fearless witness to the truth, his unyielding defense of human dignity, and his tireless proclamation of the gospel. A remarkable moment occurred after Mass when all the prelates, including Cardinal Stanislaw Zhivits, secretary for 40 years to the late pontiff, processed to the tomb of St. John Paul for prayer. On the altar above his tomb stood one large white candle and a bouquet of yellow and white flowers, Vatican colors, sent by Pope Francis to mark this anniversary. At one point of the Mass, the preface, Cardinal Parolin, noting the anniversary of the death of Pope St. John Paul, said, "His words showed God's power. His gestures showed God's love." That evening, thousands gathered for a special evening prayer vigil in St. Peter's Square, led by the president of the Polish Bishops' Conference. Also Wednesday, in a message addressed to participants in the Second Synodal Assembly of Italian Churches, Pope Francis reminded them that the Church is made by the people of God who walk together, adding that Christian joy does not come from any easy solutions to problems, but from the certainty that the Lord never abandons us. Also April 2nd, Pope Francis has dedicated his April prayer intention to new technologies and the hope that their use, quote, will not replace human relationships, but will respect the dignity of the person and will help us face the crises of our times. Thursday, April 3rd, in a message for the Jubilee Pilgrimage this weekend, organized by CARIS, the Catholic Charismatic Renewal International Service, Pope Francis urged those taking part in the pilgrimage to be witnesses and artisans of peace and unity, always striving to build communion, beginning with your groups and communities. Friday, April 4th. I would have wished to be present among you to share this moment of faith and communion, Pope Francis wrote in a message to 4,300 Slovak pilgrims attending Mass at St. Peter's Basilica, celebrated by Archbishop Bernard Dober of Košice. The Pope underscored that faith is a treasure to be shared with joy, and he marveled how saying yes to God can open horizons of peace. A report Friday on the Pope's health given by Press Office Director Matteo Bruni noted the stability of Pope Francis's clinical situation, citing slight improvements in breathing, motor abilities, and the use of his voice. He said the Angelus on Sunday could be held differently than in previous days, and there will be an update from the press office on that matter on Saturday. In past weeks, the press office has released the Pope's written texts for the Angelus. The next update will be Tuesday, April 8th. Well, those are the week's top news stories, but now stay here for my special report on the papacy of Pope St. John Paul, whose death 20 years ago was marked this week at the Vatican.
She is one of the most beloved saints of all time, honored as the saint of the little way.
Matthew Bunsen and the doctors of the church.
Saint Therese of Lisieux entered the Carmelite convent of Lisieux in 1888 and survived only 9 more years. Still, her extraordinary holiness and prayer life prompted her superiors to have her write an autobiography, The Story of a Soul. It became a spiritual classic.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
EWTN is everywhere. EWTN radio programming is provided free of charge to over 500 domestic and international AM and FM radio stations. It's a great teaching tool for Catholics and non-Catholics alike. For a complete list of EWTN AM and FM stations across America, visit EWTNradio.net. At the bottom of the page, click Affiliates. EWTN is the global Catholic network.
Welcome back to Vatican Insider. Here's Joan Lewis.
Welcome to Vatican Insider on this fifth weekend of Lent and a special papal anniversary week. Incredibly enough, this week, on April 2nd, we marked the 20th anniversary of the death of Pope St. John Paul. 20 years. To commemorate that day and those years, I have prepared a special about a man, a priest, a pope, and a saint. It's about a life and a legacy, seen through my memories and those of three men so close to John Paul: Cardinal Pietro Parolin, Secretary of State; Cardinal Stanislaw Zhivits, Secretary to John Paul for 40 years, and now the Archbishop Emeritus of Krakow, Poland; and Cardinal Konrad Krajewski, papal liturgical ceremony official under John Paul, and now papal almoner under Francis. I attended the Wednesday, April 2nd Mass in St. Peter's Basilica to commemorate the 20th anniversary of the death of Pope John Paul II at 9:37 p.m., April 2nd, 2005, the Vigil of Divine Mercy Sunday, a new name for the second Sunday of Easter that John Paul created during his pontificate. A huge crowd filled the basilica, all of whom, priests, men and women, religious and laity, hurried after Mass to pray at John Paul's tomb. It was like trying to get past a tsunami. I did see a number of people I knew from the years I worked at the Vatican, and that brought back so many happy, very special memories. I also had a personal experience during Mass that is beyond my ability to describe right now. I'm still looking for the words. My main thought at Mass, we are commemorating the day 20 years earlier when a pope died. And 20 years ago, at the very hour of that Mass, I was at my desk at the Vatican Information Service in the Holy See Press Office. We were editing the information we would eventually send out to the world when we learned of the pontiff's death, his biography, his countless trips, the firsts of his pontificate, his last will and testament. In fact, I had the privilege of translating that will into English. How many times did I meet John Paul in the years I worked at the Vatican? Countless times. Each a truly cherished memory, from the first time I attended Mass in his private chapel to the last time we met in December 2004, months before his death. Among the indelible memories of those years, I had the honor of being named by the Holy Father as a member of Holy See delegations to four international United Nations conferences. Unforgettable moments and people, every last one. When I awoke on Wednesday, April 2nd, 2025, I reflected back on that cool April day 20 years earlier, remembering with a vividness beyond telling how I spent the last days, the last hours of the Pope's life. It was as if it had happened just hours ago. After all, there are days, moments, perhaps even seconds in one's life that are so unique, so strongly seared into our hearts, minds, and souls, that they are truly unforgettable. Wednesday at Mass, in fact, I looked back 20 years to John Paul's death at 9:37 p.m., Saturday, April 2nd, 2005, the vigil, as I said, of Divine Mercy Sunday. I well remember the hours of work at the Vatican Information Service, striving to prepare a news report that would go out to the world, that would relive and recount the 26-year papacy of the man so many people called John Paul the Great. I well remember leaving the press office just before midnight and walking into St. Peter's Square, where about 80,000 people were gathered, and yet there was almost total silence. I remember finally bursting into tears, tears that had been pent up for weeks and days and then hours, tears that welled up in me at 9:37 p.m. when his death was announced, but tears I could not release until I had finished work. Today I can smile, even through tears, at the memories I have from those Vatican years of work during an indescribable pontificate, a pontificate with a gigantic legacy. Among the things I will never forget is the flood of emails I received after John Paul's death was announced. Just a few samples. From my niece Susan. Aunt Joan, I was just thinking how lucky Grandpa is. He gets to meet the Pope now. And now, when it's our time to go home, we will be greeted by both great men. Love and hugs. From a friend in the U.S. A bright light went out in the world tonight, but that bright light's glow will shine in our hearts forever. From a priest friend. Dear Joan, please accept my sympathy on the loss of your bishop, the Bishop of Rome, and our Holy Father, a great and holy man. While we mourn his loss to us, we rejoice that he is now with the saints in the abode of the Trinity. Let us pray for him in our church. We pray that, like the apostles, he guides us still. From a friend in Rome, dear Joan, I know how close he is to your heart. I can only imagine the loss, but it seems to me this is a time to rejoice. Few have lived lives better than this man. He has poured himself out for the good of others, for the good of the church, and he is about to win the crown of victory. What a wonderful gift the Lord has given to us in John Paul II. I spent the day in the Blessed Sacrament Chapel at St. Peter's, which was packed full from noon on. It was very prayerful and calm and not at all sad. Santo Spirito Church was also packed. I went there for divine mercy. And now some words from my closest childhood friend. Dear Joni, and so he went to God, uttering amen. It is truly the end of an era, and how I will miss him. His utter kindness and gentle manner, coupled with his strength, both physical in his early papacy and later in his illnesses and suffering, what an example of dying with dignity. I particularly loved his love of children, the sick, his quick humor, his loyalty to the country of his birth, and, of course, his deep and abiding faith. On a day-to-day basis, you will, I am sure, miss him deeply. There is no doubt in my mind that that soul is in heaven. No doubt at all. The angels took him, the Blessed Mother met him, and her son received him. Amen. At the April 2nd Mass in St. Peter's Basilica, Cardinal Secretary of State Pietro Parolin gave a magnificent homily that beautifully summarized John Paul II, the Pope, the man, the saint. In addition to the great numbers of priests, bishops, and cardinals in attendance, there was a big delegation from John Paul's native Poland, as well as members of the Holy See Diplomatic Corps and Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni. A remarkable moment occurred after Mass when all the prelates processed to the tomb of St. John Paul for prayer. On the altar above his tomb stood one large white candle and a bouquet of yellow and white flowers, Vatican colors, sent by Pope Francis to mark this anniversary. At one point of the Mass, the preface, Cardinal Parolin, noting the anniversary of the death of Pope St. John Paul II, said, "His words showed God's power. His gestures showed God's love." Reflecting on Pope John Paul II's final moments 2 decades ago, Cardinal Pietro Parolin recalled the powerful images of the Pope embracing the cross during the Via Crucis, his silent Easter Sunday blessing from the window overlooking St. Peter's Square, and the immense crowd that gathered to bid farewell to their shepherd. The world united in prayer as he entrusted himself to the merciful embrace of the Father, said the Cardinal. Drawing from the Gospel of John, he reflected on the deep faith that guided John Paul II throughout his life. Quote, "Whoever listens to my word and believes in the one who sent me has eternal life." This conviction, said Cardinal Parolin, sustained the late Pope in his unwavering mission, leading him to face challenges with extraordinary courage and faithfulness. In his homily, published by Vatican News, the Cardinal highlighted the Polish Pope's profound sense of living under God's gaze, citing his reflections in his collection Roman Triptych, where he described God as, quote, "the first seer before whom all things are laid bare." The transparency of his life before God, the Cardinal noted, was the foundation of his fearless witness to the truth, his unyielding defense of human dignity, and his tireless proclamation of the gospel. A central theme of the homily was John Paul's recognition of divine providence in his own life. Recalling the Pope's words following the 1981 assassination attempt, Cardinal Parolin noted how Karol Wojtyła saw his survival as a gift from God, reaffirming his dedication to serving the Church. "Divine providence has saved me in a miraculous way from death. The one who is the only Lord of life and death, he himself prolonged my life, in a certain way gave it to me anew," John Paul II wrote in his spiritual testament. The sense of mission, said Parolin, was further shaped by the counsel of Cardinal Stefan Wyszyński, who foresaw the Pope's role in leading the Church into the third millennium. This prophetic guidance, he said, gave John Paul the clarity of purpose that would define his pontificate. The Cardinal also reflected on the Pope's historic role in the Great Jubilee of 2000. For John Paul II, Christ was the center of history, and he called the world to rediscover its meaning in the light of the Redeemer. Recalling his invitation to the Church to put out into the deep, Duke in Altum, Parolin said, it continues to resonate today, inspiring Pope Francis's vision of a church in mission. As John Paul II wrote in Novo Milenio Ineunte, do not be afraid. Open wide the doors for Christ. A tireless advocate for peace and human dignity, John Paul II's voice resounded in defense of the oppressed and in opposition to war. Even when his words went unheeded, said Cardinal Parolin, his commitment to peace remained unwavering, embodying the prophetic witness of the Church. He recalled how John Paul II pleaded for the avoidance of war, saying, war is always a defeat for humanity. The Cardinal concluded, appealing for John Paul's intercession, echoing the words of Pope Benedict XVI during the funeral mass 20 years ago, when the faithful were invited to turn to him once more, he prayed, bless us, Holy Father John Paul II. Bless this pilgrim church of hope, this wounded humanity in search of its dignity and vocation, that it may rediscover the mercy and love of God. Now, at the start of the April 2nd Mass, commemorating the 20th anniversary of Pope John Paul's death, Cardinal Stanislaw Żywiec, Archbishop Emeritus of Krakow and former personal secretary of Pope Wojtyła, addressed the faithful. We firmly believe that John Paul himself now looks down upon us from above, supporting the whole Church in its pilgrimage toward eternity. He recalled how in his will, John Paul II expressed, quote, the trust that Christ would make his death useful for the most important cause which I seek to serve, the salvation of men, the safeguarding of the human family, and in it, of all nations and peoples, for the question of the Church and for the glory of the same. Cardinal Żywiec concluded, saying we are aware of how much fruit His Holiness bears. The Polish Cardinal also invited everyone to pray for the health of Pope Francis, united, quote, spiritually with us, so that the Lord may give him the strength necessary to guide the Pilgrim Church in this Jubilee Year of Hope, in these difficult times for the Church and for the world. As the Pope's young secretary in the Vatican, Stanislaw Żywiec was at Pope John Paul's side on May 13, 1981, when an assassin's bullet attempted to take the life of this beloved pontiff, who would go on to reign for 24 more years. Vatican News published some of the memories of Cardinal Konrad Krajewski, for years a pontifical liturgical official for John Paul, and today papal almoner under Pope Francis. Noting that John Paul's holiness was rooted in prayer, he said, quote, first he spoke with God alone. Then, when he went out, he showed God to everyone, and that is why his words were so touching. They changed our lives. 20 years after his death, said Cardinal Krajewski, Pope Wojtyła was a man who, when he went to preside over a liturgy, even before the celebration began in the sacristy, he was immersed in prayer, almost absent from his surroundings. In his non-presence, he was meeting with God. I didn't know that holiness was this. For me, it was normal, because for 7 years, several times a week, I saw the Holy Father like this. The papal almoner was present the evening of the Polish Pope's death. When he returned home, on the night between April 2nd and 3rd, he noticed that the world had stopped. The world had knelt in St. Peter's Square. All the streets were full of people, and yet everywhere there was absolute silence. There was no one in the shops or restaurants. Everyone had gathered in prayer. Also, he said, thanks to the media, which followed the entire pontificate closely, that feeling of collective paralysis was clearly perceived. Probably for the first time in the history of papal deaths, we lived in this way. It was something palpable. We wondered why we were not like John Paul II, why he was a saint and we, who were so close to him, were not. The memories of the Pope's almoner go back to the period of his work as a master of ceremonies. John Paul II, he said, lived the four Gospels. His logic of work, of his conduct, of solving all problems of the world and those personal, was according to the four Gospels. It is very radical to live according to the four Gospels, he said, when a person humbles himself, by placing himself completely at the service of God and man, then he is truly great. And that is why John Paul II is a saint. John Paul continues to bring us together, said Cardinal Krajewski, as he recalled the beginnings of the masses celebrated at the tomb of St. John Paul II. During the first Eucharist in the Vatican Grottoes, which housed the tomb of St. Peter and where John Paul was first buried, on Thursday, the day of the institution of the sacraments of the Eucharist and the priesthood, the will of the Holy Father was read during the homily, asking for prayers and masses. And so, from that Thursday, masses were celebrated first in the grottoes and then after the beatification at his tomb in the altar of St. Sebastian in St. Peter's Basilica. These masses, said the cardinal, with the exception of Holy Thursday, have been celebrated uninterruptedly for 20 years. The papal almoner added that, although there are tombs of several saints in the Vatican Basilica, the only powerful and significant worship of this type in a visible form is received by St. John Paul II. There's a large group of Poles living in Rome, but also those who come as pilgrims to the Eternal City, especially now in the Jubilee year, who gather every week at the tomb of the Polish Pope. In the concelebration, there are always several dozen priests. Recently, there were over 100, said Krajewski. In addition, thanks to Vatican Radio and in Poland to Catholic radio stations, Poles can connect spiritually. For Cardinal Krajewski, this is, quote, a sign of unity, of being together. John Paul II continues to gather us. Well, that is the end of my special on Pope John Paul. I could have talked for hours, for days, on the significance of John Paul the Great, of his papacy, and his continuing legacy.
For more information on these stories, or to check out Joan's blog and to ask her a question, go to EWTN.com. That's EWTN.com. Thanks for listening to Vatican Insider on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.